Okay, talking this morning with Reverend Mendel Busowatsky, Winnipeg. You've been fairly intimately involved in many facets of the work here in Ontario among the Mexican Mennonites, particularly from the UMMC, I think. Is that a correct statement?
That's right.
Generally speaking, over the number of years. What do you recollect as the beginnings? How did that transpire? How did you first find out there are people here? That kind of thing.
Well, some of those people wrote to some of our men in the West, like in Manitoba. For example, Mr. Isaac Friesen from Winkler and Jake Nuder from... And Jake Nuder, apparently, as an old colony minister, they came over here sometime and ministered to these people. And then later, of course, he left the old colony church in Manitoba and then he joined the UMMC in Winkler.
Mm-hmm.
Then it must
when,
have
when the UMMC started here, then Jake Nuder was already in UMMC here?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
See, then there was a request for a radio broadcast in this community.
Do you know who made that request?
No, I'm not sure who made that request. There were certain people here then who already were believers and they needed help. And John Friesen's broadcast, for John Friesen, I mean the UMC broadcast was available. So they released the broadcast on Pilsenberg. I forget what their call letters are, but on that broadcast, which would be station where a number of these people, at least who had radios, could pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then there came a time, must have been in 65, I believe, in winter sometime, that a request came for some services here. And in January...
In winter of 65, you mean like January, February, March?
Yeah, okay. January then. The other things must have happened before, but in 65 there was a... The MCC meeting slated here for must have been north of Kitchener here, that town called
Elmira,
yeah. So what we did, I was slated to go to the MCC meeting, and then I slipped along on the car with Reverend Isaac Friesen from Winkler and Reverend John D. Friesen from Saskatoon. And we drove here, and they went over there to have some meetings. I went to the MCC meeting here, and of course then.
Where were they?
They went down south to Aylmer, yeah, into the Aylmer area where
okay.
Summer's in there.
Who did they contact there first?
I'm not sure really whom they did. I know that Henry Peters was involved, but there were others involved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who they were. And then, with these men coming back to Manitoba, they decided that there was a need to begin a church. Here was the broadcast, and here was the where the meetings where some people had been converted. And then, must have been soon after, we started planning on what we could do, what kind of a person we could send over here. So in our executive board, and I think I was the moderate at the time, John D. was vice moderator, which we ever. And then we went to Steinmeck, where David Friesen had just been pastoring the church for about a year or so, not sure just how long. And we had a discussion with Dave and presented this whole thing to them, and they seemed to be sympathetic to the idea.
Why did you go to Dave Friesen? Why didn't you go somewhere else?
Well, Dave Friesen was a man who knew the Low German and who also was aware of some of the needs of these people. He comes from a background that's very much like they are. And we also knew that Dave Friesen was interested in leaving Lac La Ronge and resigned from Northern Canada Evangelical Commission. And that he had expressed a desire to go into some Mennonite work. See, and then they came to Steinbeck.
Mm-hmm.
But then in Steinbeck we found that here was a man that could maybe do the best job that we thought at that time possible. So we arranged a meeting with the Steinbeck Church, and then we presented this whole idea to them to take their pastor out of the church, which was a difficult thing to do, but they consented. Some of them regretted it later, but they consented then. And then Dave Friesen's removed over here. And during the next few weeks, whatever it was, Dave Friesen came up with a proposal. He said to us that he would wish that at least a few other couples would move with him, or with them over here.
He said that before they left?
Before they left, yes. And then he said four couples, he named the couples, two from his own church in Steinbeck, they were Leonard Sawatsky's, and who were the other couple, I forget now.
Not Bill Giesworth.
No. Then another two couples from the Winnipeg church. One were Isaac Ernest and Rose Friesen, and the other were Dave and Mary Dick. So before Dave Friesen's left, we then decided, well, we will not take three couples out of the Steinbeck church. If we take the pastor out, we leave the rest there. You know? So what we then did, we sent Dave Friesen's over here and contacted Ernest Friesen's and Dave Dick's, and both were willing to go here and find a job and begin to help along with the church work in Aylmer.
Did they go almost immediately then, this way too? How long did that take?
Well, it was at least during 65 about. It must have been the same summer that he came. And Ernest was then more or less in charge of young people's work and the choir. And Dave Dick was a kind of an all-around helper with Bible studies and things like that. And we had bought already during that time, we had bought a small church. I'm not sure exactly where it is there in the north of Aylmer. You may know where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there once to that church. But
Crossley Hunter Church.
Could be.
Okay.
So that's where we started the work then. And it didn't take very long until, well, I should say another thing first yet. Then during the ensuing year, part of 65 and part of 66, an Art Craker from the Winnipeg Church came to me once and said, well, we'd like to go out and do some Christian work as well. And I didn't think too much of it as the pastor of the church at the time. He was involved in the church. Then maybe a month or two later, he came again and said, well, I guess we're not good enough to be workers someplace else. We'd like to go, but we others are called, we're not called. And I said to him, Art, are you really serious? He says, we sure are. And then we gave them a hand. By that I mean we stood behind them as a church in order to make them feel that they were sent out to Aylmer to help along in the church. So during 66 sometime, I'm sure it must have been in summer at least, when they moved over here with their family and bought that house 2 miles north of Orwell, off the highway there.
Mm-hmm.
And so Art Craker became the third couple as helpers that were here to work together. And should I say it here, how long Ernest stayed?
Yeah, sure.
Ernest Friesen was not the best worker. By that I mean there were some problems which developed through the years. And then, I'm not sure what year it was now, then the Aylmer Church wanted to really to get rid of them. And Morden was anxious to have a young couple, so they were then moved to, on the initiative of the Morden Church, they moved to Morden to take on the work over there, or the young people's work, you know.
Not pastor?
No. And Dave Dick stayed longer. He became a deacon in the church later, and then at a certain point in time, I forget what year it was now, he left and moved to Alberta.
How long did the EMMC, or maybe they still do, feel that it was kind of a mission church, in that the conference would kind of keep a hand in terms of the administration of the church somehow? I assume, let's say, for example, looking in hindsight now at Kitchener, further up, that one still is considered to be strongly a mission-oriented thing.
The basis on how we do this is, once the church is in a position to financially begin to support their worker, we had a phasing out plan. We would start, let's say, once we're ready to take on a 20% of the total salary of the pastor, the missionary. Second year, another 20%. Third year, and then in 5 years' time, they'd be on their own. That's the basic plan. That's the way Ilmer worked. Okay. See, until they were ready to salary their own pastor, then they were on their own.
In the meantime, they had slowly been forming their own church council.
That's right. They have a church board, church council from the beginning. The mission board of the Conference of Saints overseeing that work then. At that point, they withdraw. They are there as a resource anyways, but basically they are on their own. Now, the Kitchener Church and
Can I just backtrack a little? Let's finish up in the Ilmer area.
Okay.
Now, they kept that church for a while, and now they have a different one.
They had the church only for a short while, maybe for a year. I don't know how long it was.
Okay.
And then they decided to build a new church on the present site, mm-hmm. 3 miles east of the town Ilmer, actually.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how that was arrived at? Were they found property there? Was that done internally, or...?
Yeah, that's what the really Art Craker was one of the movers of the whole thing, and of course Dave Friesen, the pastor as well. They found a place where they could buy a lot, and then they needed financial help from the conference, and we underwrote the loans that they made at the time, from the conference level.
So you co-signed and that kind of thing.
That's right, yeah. And then they could borrow enough money, which was not that much, but the church about 36 by about 50 or 60, I'm not sure about this.
And later they expanded it and went in.
It must have been 36 by 50 or something, I'm not sure about it. And then some years later, maybe 4 years later or so, they added another portion to it, which is now an existing building.
Okay.
Andy Peters was quite active that time in starting with the building itself. He dug the basement free of charge, and he gave a helping hand all over the place, and Art Craker was another one. So there was a lot of voluntary labor. These men were the pushers then.
Maybe at this point I would ask, do you have any comments regarding the role of Henry Peters in the Ilmer Church? And it's clear he left after.
I don't know Henry Peters that well, but he was one of the men who initially worked to get MMC in there, he was fairly well off at the time, so he could afford to spend some extra money, if you say it that way. And I'm not sure how many years he stayed. His children, most of them are in the Ilmer Church now, you have to see, but he has withdrawn. Apparently, he was not happy with the role that he had to play. After the church was there, I suppose he felt a little bit set aside in the leadership of the church. But that's only observation from the side.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you don't have any firsthand knowledge of some of that interaction there?
Not really.
Let's say between Dave Friesen and Henry
Peters. I remember those days, but I don't remember the details anymore of that.
Okay. Did you have any sense of what was happening in the old colony church at that time? Did you know what the dynamics there were?
Well, when we started, there really was no old colony church in Ontario as such, There were some of the ministers from the West, and Jake Newdorf had been there before, They came and served certain people, but there was no existing church at the time, as far as we knew.
Hmm.
And we simply went on the philosophy of MMC that if there is a real need as we see it, then we'll go in and try to help them. And we felt we had the language, and we also understood the people to a degree that we thought that here was a, what we call a mission field. Although I should say here too that quite a number of the people were believers already, had been converted to Mexico already.
Hmm.
Like the Harms family and some of those, they were that before they came here.
All right, let's move on then. maybe we could take Leamington next, or Port Rowan, whichever you feel fits in logically best. Talk about unless you have something more you want to share about Aylmer in terms of the beginning.
Well, I believe that the anything starts with a thought. Mm-hmm. And here too, the Aylmer Church was Dave Friesen's leader, and having been a missionary in LaRange, he always had an open eye on where there were places that were in need of Christian ministry. And since these Mennonites are so many related one to another, you see that people had relatives all over the place here. And once the Aylmer Church was going, of course, the other areas where people lived, there were relatives, and there were requests from certain people to come and have a ministry there as well. I'm not sure which one they did first, but the dates, that I don't know. If I talk about the Port Rowan one first, there was another element that played a role. That is that the MB Church in Port Rowan, I should say this way, that a number of people of that church were employing these Mennonites from Mexico for labor. And a number of their people, not the official church, but a number of their members, they felt there was a need to minister to these people. And they, of course, try to get them into their church, but that's where these people did not feel at home. So some of those open-minded men, like Jake Reimer, for example, is it better not to talk about?
Yeah.
Jake Reimer, for example, and Peter Kron.
Who's Peter Kron? Also named Beer?
No, yeah, he is, but he is Ulla Crony of Peter, you know, Ulla Crony of Peter.
Oh, is he in Winkler now?
Yeah, he is a bookstore now.
He was living out here?
Yeah, he was a farmer here in Port Rowan. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And he is an open man, so he and Reimer and Peter Drieger and old man, what's his first name, Reimer, the minister?
David?
Peter.
Oh, sorry, Peter.
They were men who had, he was a retired minister, you see, and these men had an openness towards these people. And then they came to some of our people here, for example, the Dave Friesen said, can you start working with these people somehow? So what happened was that Jake Reimer, being a real estate man, had an old school that was not used anymore in the Port Rowan community, and he offered that school for services. Mm-hmm. So what happened from Aylmer then, they started having service, and I don't know the date now, I forgot the dates of that.
Okay.
And then we tried to get a worker for that place. And finally we got Frank Zacharias from Plum Coulee. Frank D. Zacharias from Plum Coulee.
The older man.
Yeah, to come here and minister to these people then, in that community.
Mm-hmm. Where did they live?
They lived around there someplace, in the Port Rowan area. We call it now Houghton Center. That's more or less in that
between there somewhere.
Yeah. And then the Frank Zacharias has left. I'm not sure how long after. And then we had.
Did it stay longer than a year?
I'm not sure how long they were. Then after that, we sent Reverend Mrs. Jacob H. Friesen down here for. They were here for about a year.
And the bishop.
Yeah. We worked the same field.
They lived in Port Rowan then or something?
They also lived in that community, yeah. And
those assignments, Zacharias and Friesen, were those all done by the mission board to come over, or how did that work?
Well, I was always in conjunction with the Aylmer Church, because the Aylmer Church was here. They considered it a mission outreach, and they were asking for workers, and so we tried to supply workers from the conference.
So the request came first from the Aylmer Church to the conference mission board,
yeah,
and then the mission board tried to provide the
right. That's right, yes. And the mission board also salaried these men then. Then after the Friesens left, of course, the work was still there, and then Dave Dick from Aylmer, the deacon, he did a lot of driving down there for services. He lived at Aylmer and drove down there for services and served them that way.
There was a time when the Port Rowan Church was, or the Houghton Center, whatever you want to call it, UMC, was virtually non-existent then again, right?
Officially, yes. I think there was a time when there wasn't much going on.
I mean, there weren't but then, really much church.
But then the Ilmer Church again pushed for it. Now, I'm missing some details here, but they pushed for it, and eventually we bought the place there, this present Houghton Center Church.
Mm-hmm. Was that done without any worker being there? Why was that church bought?
I think there was a united effort made of a united, but I mean that we were planning on a worker and also church. It's kind of a simultaneous thing. See, and then Dave Friesen's, who'd already left here and were in Nippon for a year, then they were recalled to come back and take on the Houghton work here. At the same time, we bought the building there. That was very much at the same time.
Can I backtrack a little bit? Are there any interesting or noteworthy dynamics of the Friesens leaving Ontario, going to Nippon, and rather than coming back again? Why did they leave Ontario in the first place?
You might ask the question, why did they leave the Ilmer Church in
yeah.
the first place? Yeah. Well, Dave had been there for about 8 years, I think, roughly. There were voices there that were saying that Dave Friesens had been here long enough. There were voices who wanted to keep them. And there were also voices in our mission and that particular mission board who were a bit anti-Friesen. And then they could see Pete Giesbert on the horizon who would be available. And so some of the mission board members pushed hard to make that change. But the change was slow, and then eventually maybe it took a year or so then. Then the Friesens finally resigned, and then the Giesbert were put on as workers here. And since the Friesens were without a church now, then he got in contact with the Nippon Bible School, and then under Jake Beebe's direction, he became a teacher there for 1 year.
Hmm. Oh, I see.
It was only for a year. Mm-hmm. Something happened, which I don't want to have on tape here.
At Nippon,
yes.
Okay.
See, and then Dave was working in a store in Prince Albert.
He left Nippon.
He left Nippon, yes, and then he went to Prince Albert to work in the store. And then the mission board decided to ask Dave Friesen to come and take on that Houghton Center work. I think the name comes in because that's the local community area, that's what it's called.
Houghton Center. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. That church that was bought then, where did that come from? Or that was a church previously?
That was a church bought from the Brethren in Christ, is it, Jeff? The part of MCC.
Yeah, Brethren in Christ.
Yeah, they had two churches there that they were going to sell. One in Houghton, one in Walsingham, I think it's called. And then they were going to build a new one. So we decided to buy this one, which was a bit on the one side, but we decided to buy this one, which served an immediate purpose the best. And the conference then also borrowed them some money directly, and I think they also signed some documents in order to buy the church, which was bought for about $22,000.
And how long did Friesen stay? He, of course, no longer there. So did he stay until he began his MCC assignment?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You would know that date, I guess.
It's about 2 years ago.
Well, it's all, yes, all of that. It was in March.
2.5, yeah.
It should be 3 years in March.
Okay. And Jake Pauls came in following.
Yeah, they came in 1977. Really, they started to work in November then.
Oh, yeah, so they were about five, six months without a minister there.
Well, yes and no. Dave Friesen has still served them, though,
on a
voluntary basis after that.
Are there any other prime movers among the Houghton Center Church who kept the thing alive?
Yes, of course, Mr. Dick Hamm was one of them. And I'm not sure when Jake Peters moved back there.
Jake Peters had moved
from Kitchener
here.
Yes. Not sure what time they moved there.
Okay.
Henry Friesens would be a quiet couple who would be supporting the work strongly. Other than that, I don't know any much more. Now, the Houghton Church, of course, is a church. It's an organized church, but it's still on the mission board because they have not been able to financially take on that responsibility of the pastor. They do some.
Mm-hmm. But not all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move to Leamington.
So there the dates are not clear to me again. I forget now. But
well, it would be safe to say that Leamington and Port Rowan were virtually simultaneous. Is that correct?
Could be. I'm not sure about the date.
My understanding is that
the request again came here from the Aylmer Church, very much, or very likely from Dave Friesen again, that there were a lot of people there that needed spiritual help and we should do something about that. Well, and we had heard that Jake Heppner was interested in leading Western Track Mission.
Before you get into Jake Heppner, do you know of any of the dynamics of how Friesen found out about Leamington, or how were the
involved? It's again that relationship of people, you know, relatives. They were relatives of people in Aylmer who were living in Leamington, and they were requesting work there, you see, services.
Okay.
They had no building. Then what the mission board did, they discovered that Jake Heppner's were interested in leading the Western Track Mission. So they gave Jake Heppner's a call to leave Saskatoon and to go to Leamington and begin a work there. In fact, he gave him a white piece of paper, symbolically speaking. You go and start at work, whichever way you want to do that, you know.
Kind of a carte blanche.
Yeah, no strings attached, and we'll support you financially. I remember that Abe Thiessen was chairman of the mission board that year, and that's the way they did it then.
Was that normal to do it that way?
No, or? It was not. Well, no, it was an unusual thing.
Why was it done that way?
Well, there were no details. Nobody knew anything what could be done. So all they did, they sent him in there to test the waters, as were, see what he could do, or you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what Jake then did, they rented. He found some believers there, and they rented the school cheaply. I think it was the school of the what's the name of the private school called the Leamington.
Mineral Education Institute.
Yeah, right. They rented an auditorium in there, and that's where they had their services. And soon after, there was another couple from Steinbeck who moved in there by the name of Bill Giesbrechts. I'm not sure how the time-wise they clicked, but they moved in there too. And another couple named Dave Wolfs came in from the Glen Cross area. And another couple by the name of Henry Epps moved in there too. But I'm not sure just who was first or so, but they were all there.
Mm-hmm. Where are the Dave Wolfs from? Glen Cross, you said?
She is, and I think he comes from the Winkler Church, but that community, that's close together.
I see. They came in, those couple all came in kind of a similar way as Art Craker's, similar pattern?
Well, they came on their own. I don't think that the mission board or any official people in the Comps have asked them to go, but their requests made over there for extra workers, and these then responded and came. And so the work was started that way. I'm not sure how long Jake Heppner stayed. They stayed for about 3 years, I guess.
What can you tell me about his work? What did he do? How did it work out? Any reactions?
Well, Jake's main work, of course, is usually visiting people, going to the homes and talking to the people, getting acquainted with them, and then bringing them the gospel. Jake is a very strong personal worker. He likes that. And he befriended the people, and of course he would then bring the gospel to them, and he'd have people who would respond to that too. So there were quite a number of conversions those years under Jake Heppner's work. Now Jake then, in those same years, bought himself a property a few miles out of east of Aylmer, out of Leamington.
He did that on his own.
He did that on his own, yeah. And then he built a house on it, first of all, one part, one end. And he right away said that there was enough land to build a church on. So what he did later, I'm not sure much later, he donated a certain section of that property, of his land, to build a church on. And there was an old school on the property. Let me see, how was this again? He wanted the church to buy this, or the Congress to buy this, but the Congress didn't do this, so Jake bought himself.
the old school.
Well, the school with the property on it, you know. It was relatively cheap. And then Jake built a house on it for himself.
What did he do with the school?
What's that?
What did he do with the school?
Well, that's the next step, oh. See. And then he